Hey there, and welcome to another episode of the Love Offering Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Adams, and today's guest is Angie Haskell. She is on the show today talking about how to find sweet release from the cravings that control us from her book, Sugarcoated. All around the world, women yearn for a perfect life they cannot grasp. They want to be successful, attractive, sexually fulfilled, and free from distress. Rather than turning to God, too many try to feast on everything under the sun. Diet pills, pornography, shopping sprees, one-night stands, and social media, anything to hit the sweet spot. In the end, they are left with a deep sense of shame that can draw them further into a spiral of binging and hiding. They totally get Paul's woeful lament, "I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing." In a society that has become dangerously divisive, Angie reassures women that they are still deserving of a relationship with God while also standing up for themselves and their needs. Hi, Angie, and welcome to the Love Offering Podcast. I'm so happy to have you.
Thank you so much, Rachel. I'm excited to talk to a fellow Kentuckian.
I know we made this connection now that we're like hitting record. We made this connection that we know so many of the same people, and I'm from a small town. And so it's just neat how big the world can feel, but small the world can feel sometimes too.
That's so true. You know, I live in Santa Fe, and it's amazing. I run into people from Kentucky. Not a lot. I'll even have people say, "What's a Kentucky girl living out, you know, doing in Santa Fe?" And my reply is always, "Well, there's this thing called planes and cars, and we can go anywhere we want to go." And New Mexico is definitely my happy place where I feel the most home now. So it's always good though to speak with some Kentucky ladies.
Yeah, the twang. We understand the southern twang. Hopefully everybody else understands us today too, right?
Exactly. Well, my husband is from Wisconsin, and so of course his accent's totally different, and I keep thinking I'll rub off on him a little bit, but not yet.
Maybe he's rubbing off on you. Well, so today we are chatting about finding sweet release from cravings that control us. So what have you found over the years and through your research that women crave most?
You know, Rachel, I think it depends on how old we are and how secure we are. And I've spoke with hundreds of women when I started writing this book, and of course, looking at my own life. And, you know, when you think about our life in our 20s, let's say, and if we have children and we're maybe newly married, you know, we want our kids to do well in school. We crave peace. You know, we crave calm, and we don't want our kids to be bullied in school. And you know, maybe if you're a new Christian at that age, we crave grace. We don't understand how freely God gives us that. So we get overwhelmed with, you know, wanting to make sure we're good enough. And then, you know, in our 40s and 50s, like I am, you know, our marriage may influence those cravings or lack of security. And sometimes influences what we crave. So it depends on a lot of factors in what we crave. And that's why I wanted to write the book, because regardless of the age of the women I spoke with, if they were really real in talking with me, I found out we all have all different cravings, and owning them, realizing some are good and some are sinful. It's a conversation no one was having. And I think it's so important that we own it and have it, especially at this day and time.
I applaud you for your courage to have the conversation. So why are these cravings so controlling?
I think there's two factors. And one big factor that helped me understand it actually was my youngest daughter, who's a psychologist. And she's all about living real. She's 27 years old. And we had a real conversation about it. And, you know, part of these cravings, which is why the book has the title Sugarcoated, is cravings are a lot like sugar. We know sugar is very addictive. It's hard to wrestle to the ground. And when we're addicted to sugar, it's very similar to what happens in our brain, like a craving, because we have a neurotransmitter in our brain called dopamine. It's this feel-good hormone that's released when we have a brownie, or when we shop, or if women have an online affair and someone says something to them to make them feel so good. It's dopamine, no matter how you cut it. And when you translate or you add on that dopamine to temptations by the enemy in our heads, then you've got a force that's really hard to wrestle to the ground. One good thing is we know we can wrestle them to the ground. But dopamine and that feel-good hormone is a very powerful thing. And women have to just quit beating themselves over the head thinking, you know, I'm such a terrible person. I'm such a weak person. There's a very physical component in this. And we have to own that. And then we have to look at how we're going to control it.
So I'm going to ask you to have even more courage now and talk about some of your personal struggles. Which of these cravings do you struggle with in this season that you're in? I know you said in the 20s and 30s, it may be different, but right now, where are you struggling?
You know, I think some cravings we have, it's not just a quick fix. I think some of those cravings can start from a very early age by observation. You know, just for example, alcoholism in families. You know, that, and that's not something I've struggled with, but it's something that if you've seen that at a young age, it can actually become part of your craving and in who you are, because we've seen other people struggle with that. And, you know, you asked me to be brave. One of my struggles, and I think social media can even make it even worse, was shopping. I saw family members struggle with that too. And probably, to be honest, they had some really problems with security. They were very insecure that they fix everything, or if they had problems emotionally. And I kind of adopted that too. And I was really insecure. And there's a lot of factors that played into that. Shopping was a biggie. And now with social media, it's even worse. You know, we feel like we've got to have that great brand, or we want to have the latest style of this, or maybe we want to adopt a certain, you know, buy something for our home to feel like we fit in with other people. And the only feeling that ended up with is a desperation of figuring out how you're going to pay for your credit card. And that was that was the end feeling. Even though the dopamine was released when I would buy that great handbag, I still remember buying a handbag in my late 20s thinking it would make me feel accepted by other people who had things. And I still struggle with that, although a lot of factors in my life changed. And I realized, why do I have all this? Why do I have all these things that really pile up and that I didn't need in the first place? So that was a biggie for me that I do feel like I've kind of wrestled to the ground with a lot of help and conditional love.
So for whatever we're struggling with our cravings, how do you, is there like a step-by-step process of how we find freedom, or how do we, or how have you, I mean, you kind of shared your story of how you found freedom, but I'd love for you to elaborate more on that.
You know, there's several factors, and I talk about them in the book Sugarcoated. It's not a fix, you know, quick fix, just like quitting sugar is a quick fix, because if you even go back and compare these cravings like I do to sugar, we also know there's fake sugars. And, you know, we're enticed by this colorful wrapping, whether it's being tempted by a relationship with someone, whether it's buying something that looks all colorful and flashy. A lot of times we're left feeling empty, just like fake sugar. You know, we have the craving, and then we're stuck saying, wow, that wasn't as great as I thought it would be. What am I going to do about this? And so in my journey, I have a wonderful therapist that I see, who I adore, who I could be real with. And that's a big step. It's being real. You know, I have some Christian friends, sadly, that think seeing a counselor means we're weak, or taking an antidepressant or a medication for anxiety, that, oh, you should be able to pray your way out of that. My heart breaks for people that say that, because that's not necessarily true. We are not superhumans, even though sometimes we women want to think we can do it all. You know what? We just can't. We have to admit sometimes, you know, I just can't get that straight in my head. And so I saw that, you know, I think women can seek the help of a licensed therapist. I think my pastor is fabulous. I found a church that loves me for me and help me understand, girl, you got to know about grace, you know. And sometimes I think, you know, me personally, I was brought up thinking that God was always a just angry God. I lived waiting for the other shoe to drop 24/7. And that's a very sad way to live. But I think sometimes Christian women think that we're so afraid to have joy, you know. And I, you know, you're from Kentucky, I'm from Kentucky. I've had people say, you're getting a little bit too big for your britches, young lady. What a cruel thing to say. What a cruel thing to say. Women should be lifting each other up, talking to one another about cravings. Find a great friend. You know, that's something I think as we get older, especially, we cherish more. But when we're your age and we've got young kids, I didn't have time to sit down and have a cup of coffee with a good friend and say, can I talk to you about my cravings I'm having or my struggles I'm having? It's so important that we do that. In my book, I call it a sister circle. You can have a superficial friend to go out to dinner with, go shopping with, but I really encourage women, and I found this in my interviews that I did. You got to find a woman friend that can hold you accountable. And it can't be a man. A man, we all have men friends. My husband is truly my best friend, but they don't have the hormones we have. You know, they just don't. They don't have the same struggles we do. You gotta have a female friend that you can be real with. So it's a lot of things. It's prayer, it's finding a great church and a pastor you can be real with. If you don't want your pastor to know the cravings you're struggling with, that's okay too. That's why there's therapists, and that's why there's women friends. That's why there's meds you may need by talking to a licensed physician. But God puts so many resources in our path for a reason. And I'm so thankful that I finally got secure enough in myself to say, I'm going to reach out to all those because I want to get this figured out. And so women have to own it though. That's the first step, is saying, I'm not perfect. Just because I'm a Christian doesn't mean I've got my act together. And that's important.
Yeah, that's so true. You know, we're interviewing right now. We're having this conversation right after the new year, and of course, I'm trying to eat better and, you know, read my Bible and walk on the treadmill and, you know, do all the things. But the other day, so my whole family got chicken fingers and fries, and I ordered a salad. Well, then in their chicken fingers and fries, they all had bread, and so
Right.
everybody, you know, my husband and two kids are like, "Mom, you want any fries? Mom, you want any bread?" And I'm like, "No, yes, I do want it, like, but I'm not gonna eat it." And so I think the reason I bring that up, it is not to tell everybody to eat salads and not eat bread, but to tell everybody, like, when you are really struggling with something and there's people right next to you doing the very behaviors that you're trying not to do, unless you communicate that to them and tell them, look, I'm struggling in this area. I need accountability. Please don't tempt me. I wish you would eat a salad right next to me. And that's just a, you know, I'm giving a silly explanation and a silly example.
That's
But
a
when things get really serious and there are more things that you're really struggling with that have greater consequences, and I shouldn't even say that, levels of cravings, I probably shouldn't even rank those.
Right.
Gluttony is a sin, just like anything else is a sin. Do you have anything to say on that? I don't know. That all came
I
to my mind.
totally. I know the chicken place you're talking about because when I go to Kentucky, it's one of the first places I go to. So I know exactly. And that sauce is just addictive.
So good. Yeah.
It's so good. But you're so right in terms of you have to make clear your boundaries. And I think we've all been guilty, or I know I have, of hanging out with individuals. Maybe I'm not talking about, you can't ditch all your family, but you can be in relationships that can be your family that are toxic. There are people that love to shame others, whether it's with food, whether it's with the past craving that they know you've had. And that's dangerous too. I have learned to put up boundaries that are all not always easy. But I also know for my own sanity, for my spiritual health, I have to say, you know what? I can't go there anymore. Or we may hang out with someone that, let's say they like wine. And if you're struggling with saying, you know what, I think during COVID, I drank a little too much wine than I should have. I know a lot of Christian women that did that. They were young mothers. They were trying to get their kids on the computer instead of off. They're trying to get them on. And they resorted to alcohol. I heard that a lot in writing this book. And then it's like, you got to distance yourself from people who tend to have that craving a lot. And that's really tough. But it's tougher if you can't get rid of that craving. So, and those people that really love you, whether it's because you are struggling with eating a salad or struggling with not drinking or saying, you know what, I love going to the mall, but I struggle with shopping a little bit too much. You got to make tough decisions. And sometimes tempting individuals are toxic individuals. And it's tough to do, but you have to do it. And people that really love you, like I know your family does, they're gonna say, I get it, Mom. I know it's hard. Love that salad. But and if they love you, they're gonna get it. And they're gonna say, I'm with you on this. And that's when you see someone that really loves you for you.
Well, I was just thinking about we have as believers the Holy Spirit residing in us. And so one of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. And
That's
I
right.
keep saying that to myself. It's like, okay, Rachel, you have the Holy Spirit, you have self-control. But
Right.
yet it's still so difficult. And I think it goes back to what Paul says in Romans 7:19. He says, I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. And so really
Exactly.
like this battle with our mind and our will and our soul and our flesh is just, it's so hard being human. So how do we have
True.
self-control and not give in to what is tempting us? It's so hard.
It is so hard, but thankfully we have a savior who knew that automatically. That's why he put those words in Paul's mouth. That's why the Bible is thankfully filled with stories of people that always didn't have self-control. I mean, look at David. I mean, David was an absolute train wreck. And struggled, but yet we also know he chased after God's heart, passionately. And I think about that when I struggle with things about God, don't give up on me. I may have screwed this up, but I know you love me. And that's one thing I think that has been my saving grace is knowing by praying, by talking with my pastor, by reading God's word. I never forgot that God loved me. And I think sometimes, though, and I hate to say it in this political climate, but I'm going to say it. I think Christians right now are so filled with finger pointing, they've forgotten about grace. We can't become that type of woman. We should be women that are lifting each other up instead of beating ourselves down and beating other people down. That's something I'm really passionate about. It's something that really influenced me to write this book. And I mean, whether it's I'm talking about sugarcoating things that we think are great that end up being terrible. It's also about, let's quit sugarcoating this. Let's be honest with what's happening and who we are. Paul struggled with this. David struggled with this. Shame is such a terrible thing. And women have just, it's so sad because we should be so celebrating one another and loving that God gives us grace freely. But we forget that. And now we drown ourselves in this shame that it sometimes I spoke with women about this that had struggled so much with shame, whether it be an online affair. They craved love. They craved wanting to feel sexy. And they went to really terrible extremes to feel that way. Paul talks about this, you know, and why can't I quit doing this? And women struggle with online affairs I spoke with, or maybe it was affairs physically. And I spoke with women who wanted to escape the reality so desperately that they resorted to alcohol, pornography, prescription drugs. They just didn't want to feel. And Rachel, these are Christian women. You know, we've got to own that. These are Christian women who struggle. If you look at statistics today of people that Christians that struggle with pornography, affairs, we're not talking about just a salad. We're talking about serious, you know, with far-reaching consequences like your marriage being over. Women who desperately want to look like these airbrushed women they see on social media to the point they're anorexic or they're so addicted to Botox and fillers that they don't even look like the same person anymore. And so, and I'm not knocking Botox. Let me put that up front. I've had Botox. I mean, what is wrong with not wanting so many wrinkles? That doesn't make you a terrible person. But when you go over the edge to the point you don't even look like yourself, then that's a craving you need help with. But Christian women struggle. We have cravings. We sugarcoat things to death. And it's tragic. And so God put all those stories in the Bible for a reason. I mean, we go all the way back to the beginning. Adam and Eve felt, they didn't feel shame until they sinned, and then they're desperately looking for the closest fig leaf, right? Because they were struggling with shame. And we have to remember we serve a Savior that loves us through it all. Thank goodness for that.
There's so much in what you just said. And I'm just thinking about even Eve in the very beginning, she was tempted and she had the craving for the apple because it was good and pleasing to the eye. I mean, it's from the very beginning and Satan is going to continue to tempt us. And we see though how Jesus fought that temptation in the desert. He fought the lies with the truth of God's word. And it's so important to keep God at the center of everything because you are so right. We as Christian women, we are not going to do this perfectly. Like right. Sin does not discriminate. Right. We are just as tempted or maybe even more so. But we know how to fight the battle. And that's the difference, would you say?
Absolutely. You know, I've said before, sometimes it's how ironic it is sometimes that some of the strongest tempters right now with social media and computers have a symbol of a piece of fruit with a bite taken out of it. You can put two and two together. But that's the first thing I think about when I turn on my phone. It's like, wow. I mean, how much more in your face do you have to be with this struggle? And it's so important, you know, that we own it, but the conversation has to get started, which is why I wrote the book. But I can see why some editors said, girl, you are going to upset the apple cart with the stuff you're writing about, because some cravings, Rachel, are very normal and can be a beautiful thing if we have the right conversations. We may, you know, I'm 56 years old. Women, as we get older, it's almost like, and this is another type of craving, but it's almost like there's been a cruel joke going on, because as women get older, we feel more free sexually. Our kids have left the nest. We finally are starting to feel good about who we are, maybe more secure. Yet the husbands, as they get older, work pressures can become greater. Erectile dysfunction can become a serious thing. And yet you're thinking, okay, there's a disconnect here. What are we going to do about this? I've got this craving for physical intimacy, but what do I do about it? But what happens with women that I spoke with, and I spoke to a lot of them, they just don't talk about it. Or they say, oh, I'm being selfish if I want those things. Why can't we just be buddies? Well, that's a shame. That's a really big shame. We need to have those conversations. So sometimes cravings can be a beautiful thing. You know, we may, as parents of adult children, I spoke with a lot of parents that said, you know, I so crave to be financially secure and I don't want to have to keep supporting my adult children. Then have a conversation with your adult children or get the help that you need so that you don't feel this constant fear that your kids aren't going to love you as much if you say, you got to stand on your own now. I have a craving to enjoy retirement. We should not feel guilty about those things. And so sometimes cravings are good. They're wake-up calls that we need to have. So we've got to make sure, too, that we understand some of these cravings are normal and they're okay. So my book talks about all those things. I really unpeel the onion and say, let's talk about them all so that we can enjoy love and sex and intimacy, financial freedom, and not beating ourselves up constantly because of shame.
Yeah. I'm so glad you're starting this conversation and bringing it, because it is something that all of us are dealing with. We're all human, but I think, and I'm so thankful that you mentioned, we feel so guilty when we don't do it all right. And so that's so important. God came to give us grace. And so I just want to free everybody from that pressure to just be perfect in all of this. So are there any other lies that we may be believing about God in regards to the times that we maybe give into our cravings?
And we're all going to give into one. You know, these, if there's women that say I don't have a trouble with any kind of craving, they're lying. I'm just being really blunt. They're lying to themselves, or they don't want other people to know that they struggle. And, you know, I think it's so easy to think, regardless of our Christian walk, of the path we're on, so many times when, say, I bought that handbag or I'd overspent and my checking account was like, oh my God, how am I going to pay my bills? That I think, God can't love somebody like me. You know, how could he love someone that struggles so much? And my pastor told me something not too long ago that I think is so good when we're struggling and we're beating ourselves up. He said, Angie, what if everything that's going on in all of our heads, we can write on a post-it note and tape it to our foreheads for everybody to see? We wouldn't get out of the house, right? We would not dare want to look at anyone out of fear they could see what's going on in our thoughts. Thank goodness we don't have to do that. But we so many times think, oh, God couldn't love me. And we forget about how beautiful grace is. And that's when we've got to go back to God's word and be reminded over and over of what grace is. You know, my favorite story in the Bible is in Mark, of the woman who was bleeding and this disorder. We don't know if I kind of think maybe this woman was menopausal and maybe I'm trying to think of her in my own world that I'm in. But, and I also think, well, what if men were bleeding like this? I doubt if they'd be ostracized from the community like this poor woman was. And yet she was ostracized. And the bottom line of that story is not about some woman bleeding. It's about the shame she felt because they made her feel so unclean and so unworthy. It makes me want to cry every time I talk about it, because that's how we feel when we've given in to a craving. We feel just like that, that how dare anybody would want to ever talk to us or love us again. But it's also this woman who reached out to Jesus's garment and said, if I can just touch you, if I can just touch your garment, I'm good. I know then I'm okay. There's been so many times in my life, and maybe you too, Rachel, where I've said, Jesus, I just want to touch your garment. Do you feel me? Do you feel me touching your garment? Because I'm hanging on. I'm not just touching it. I'm hanging on to it for dear life. Please feel that. And of course, what did Jesus call her? He called her daughter. It's one of the few times in the Bible that Jesus called someone daughter. And we've got to remember that when we feel so unholy, we don't feel love. We've got to remember to touch his garment, to feel his grace, and then to know, wait, he calls me daughter. It's okay. Am I going to struggle again? Probably. But I'm going to get the right help, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to seek those people that can lift me up. And then at the end of the day, I'm going to remember I'm someone's daughter who is the greatest savior the world's ever known. And that's when we can wrestle cravings to the ground.
Oh, that's so powerful and so beautiful and such a great reminder for all of us that Jesus has always pulled us out of our sin and shame. That's like the whole story of the Bible or the New Testament,
right.
and God, of course, in the Old Testament. But
exactly.
And then I just was thinking, because it was something you mentioned earlier, but just the discernment, to pray for the wisdom and discernment from the Lord, like which cravings are healthy and
right.
natural and could be a good thing. Like,
yeah.
Lord, help me crave more of you, you know, craving for the Lord, craving for peace in the home. Like some of those things are really healthy and good. So just a discernment, what is a good craving and what is a bad craving? And then to reach
right.
out to his garment for help to know the difference and then to have the self-control.
Yeah.
So as women and maybe even men, I don't know, read,
for
I mean,
sure.
they're tempted and have cravings too, right? So what do you
Exactly.
hope for women and men as they read and hear this message?
You know, when I finished the book before it was sent to the publisher, and, you know, my editor had read the book but Bill, my husband, he said, I wanted him to read it, but also didn't want him to think he had to read it. But he knew this was a huge passion of mine. And so every morning he would sit outside and read a chapter. And he came in after he read the last chapter, you know, each day he was reading, and he came in and I said, Bill, why do you feel like you have to read it? And he said, because it helps me understand you. It helps me see who you are as a woman so that I can understand what you're struggling with. And he said, Angie, I'm not just saying this because I'm your husband. Every man should read this book, because they will understand all these struggles women are having and what we can do to help meet those needs. And I just thought, now I know why I'm married to you. Because he is such a, you know, he's an artist like I am. You know, I'm not just an author, but we both are professional artists in Santa Fe. And we both have had our own life path. And you know, I'm sort of a newlywed, you know, at my age, I never thought I'd get married again. And for a man to say that, it makes me realize men need to read this book as well. They have cravings of their own, but of course, from a selfish standpoint, as a woman, I'm like, I'm so glad you understand that now. And so I think if women can read this book and men can read this book, and they can have a meeting of their minds to say, yeah, these are cravings. We gotta get a hold of these and figure out how to do away with them. Or maybe it's a craving to say, yeah, you have that too. What can we do to make this a beautiful thing? We're not only gonna learn to love ourselves better, we're gonna, I think our family, our friends are gonna find, wow, what's different about her? She seems like she's got it together, or she doesn't beat herself up constantly and come across as this insecure female. We can have the most beautiful relationships of our lives if we can own the cravings, forgive ourselves, Or like you said, see the ones that are beautiful. But it's a win any way you look at it. But we got to quit sugarcoating it. No pun intended. We've got to quit sugarcoating it and go for what's real. And then it's a beautiful thing.
So this season, I am asking all of my guests this question. What's something that you're loving right now?
Okay. Are you talking to about a book or just something in my life or any of those?
Anything. You mentioned you're an artist. You mentioned, you live in New Mexico. I mean, anything, any product, like what's something that you just especially love that you would want to share with us all?
You know, one thing I'm loving, and I know this sounds incredibly corny, is my life right now. It's taken me this long to feel secure in who I am. You know, I got divorced, and I think so many times Christian women think, oh, I don't want to date again. I don't want to find love again. I just want to focus on my faith and not be in a relationship. I wasn't one of those women. I wanted to be loved and experience what unconditional love feels like, because I didn't have that before, to be quite honest. So to meet someone at this stage of my life who is an artist, who's a very well-known artist in Santa Fe. He's a fabulous contemporary artist that's in museums and I knew his work, didn't even know he lived in Santa Fe. And so to meet him, get married, and him say, you're an artist, why aren't you painting? And someone give me that freedom to be me. And now I'm in art galleries as well. That's a beautiful thing. Another great thing I'm loving right now just happened a few weeks ago, and that is my first grandchild. And Roman is just a doll, and they live in Kentucky, and everything is he's healthy and beautiful and wonderful. And I am just so excited about being a grandparent, and I am far away. So every time I sell a painting, it goes into the Angie Haskell airline ticket fund because I'm going to be flying to Kentucky a lot. And I'm just thrilled. I just can't wait to love him every time I'm there. And we do Zoom calls and all that stuff too. So I'm so thankful for that as well. So it's an interesting phase in my life right now.
What a great thing to be able to say. I love my life. I would say the same thing about mine. I'm so thankful. And I pray everybody listening would, it doesn't mean we have perfect lives, but it
That's
means
right.
that we're choosing to love the life that we have too.
So
is there a biblical concept of love that speaks to your heart most that you would want to encourage us with today as we close based on this topic?
You know, it's really one that I mentioned before, and it's the woman who was bleeding, because I think if we can bleed emotionally and feel like I am just tapped out. And I've been there. You know, if when I was divorced and was going through so much change, I got divorced after living in New Mexico, but I didn't know if I was going to go back to Kentucky or if I was going to stay here. And my kids were like, Mom, you're an artist at heart. You're a writer. You're an artist. How about moving to Santa Fe? I was terrified. I didn't know anyone. But emotionally, I felt like that woman, like, what am I going to do? What am I going to turn to? I mean, I'm out here alone. I felt so ostracized. And there's a lot of Christian women that feel that way. Or there's a lot of women who may not have decided to follow Jesus. And they are really seeking understanding. And, the book Sugarcoated is not just for Christian women. It's for women in general who are struggling. And I think that's a key component is the woman who wanted to just touch Jesus's garment and feel love. That's what we all want. We want love and acceptance. And that story in the Bible is something I go back to time and time again to remember he called me daughter. He called her daughter. I'm his daughter. And he's going to love me no matter how hard I'm touching his garment. We've got to remember that. And, you know, we can't keep falling for fake sugars that leave us empty. And we've got to pray, like you said, for discernment, that we understand, that's a tempting sugar that's going to lead me down a path that's going to hurt. Or go to a friend and have that friend say, Rachel or Angie, that's not a good craving to have. And let's help get you better. And I have been in situations in my life that I didn't understand that. And that's why this book is written. I don't want to see another female have to struggle with cravings like so many other women that I spoke with. I mean, these women have struggled through a lot of pain. And thankfully, they were bold enough to say, here, Angie, let me tell you how when I was 32, I wrestled that craving. Let me tell you how when I was 52, here was a craving I had. And here's what I did to get better. And so it's so important that we look to Christ, not in shame, but in gratitude. That grace is such a beautiful thing. And that's what we've got to do.
Just not to belabor the point, but this is just hitting home on so many levels. And I just think how many women and how many, you know, I'm just thinking about you and then your daughter and your grandchildren and your marriage and like all the relationships that we have, that it, our choices and our behaviors and our actions, it affects not just us, it affects everyone. And sometimes we just are, I think Satan can even tempt us a little bit to be like, well, it's just a little bit, you know, like, and then, but then that little bit, it just continues to snowball, good and bad. You know,
if
but there really are true consequences to so many of our choices. And so this is so important. It really is. And so thank you for speaking into this.
Thank you. Thanks for having me and, you know, participating in the conversation. I think it's definitely one that we're not talking about enough, and we've got to get away from the shame and again, stop sugarcoating it and own it, have the conversations and get healthy. You know, I always talk about one chapter in the book is about actually Mary Poppins. And what did she say to the kids wanting them to behave? A spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. And that's not true. That spoonful of sugar can get us in a whole lot of trouble. And so I'm brutally honest in the book, but I think it has to be brutally honest to get well. And women can do that. And we can step into a light like we've never known before. And that's exciting.
That is exciting. And I'm just thinking as we close, obviously I have a lot to say on this topic, but you know, Jesus asks the man that is, I think, paralyzed, and he says, do you want to get well? And so I think that's a big component of this. We have to want to get well. And so I think Jesus may be asking each of us that today. So would you pray for us as we close?
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be real and sending your Son to die for our sins and to show us how much we are loved, even in the mire of sin and temptation and craving. Help give us discernment, God, of what cravings are healthy and beautiful and what cravings are not. Help us to pick up our mat and walk, like Rachel alluded to. Give us bravery, give us strength. Help us not to shame other women, but instead love and lift them up and be honest with one another. We thank you for giving us Jesus. We thank you for giving us other women that we can be real with and feel loved. Guide us every day. Give us strength and discernment every day. And help remind us every day that we are your child. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, Angie, I know that I want to stay connected with you. I'm sure listeners are going to want to stay connected with you. So tell us how we can best do that.
You know, they can always go to my website, angiehaskell.com. They can get info about the book. I also blog about some really honest topics. That's exactly who I am, what I've always been. And there's also videos from me on the Angie Haskell YouTube channel. And that's kind of a work in progress, but I have so many women say, why aren't you doing more videos? I can relate to you when you're talking to me. So we're going to do that more as well. And then hopefully soon there'll be some more books about being real. I think it's, I have a lot to share in my struggle with through divorce and child rearing. And so many times when we go through change, it's not just a plan B. As my mother always said, it's finding a new plan A. And so many times, we have to do that, and that's okay.
Oh, well, wonderful. Well, Angie, thank you so much. This has been such an insightful, important, challenging, and convicting topic, but thank you for not sugarcoating it.
Absolutely. Let's pray that more and more women stop the sugarcoating as well.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode with Angie Haskell. We hope that today encouraged you to find sweet release from the cravings that control you. If you're interested in show notes, you can head on over to @RachelAdamsAuthor on Instagram or Facebook. I'd love to connect with you there. I'd also love to connect with you over on rachelkadams.com. There you can subscribe to receive your weekly love offering newsletter, and all of this information can go straight to your inbox each week. You can also listen to previous podcast episodes, you can read the blog series, and you can download free resources like the 31-day love offering calendar. I would love to share that with you for free, and you can find that at rachelkadams.com/free. Next week, my guest is Erin Warren. She is on the show talking about everyday prayers for faith. I can't wait to chat with you again then, but until then, I hope you have a terrific week, and as always, remember to lead with love.